Our gospel reading of the day is taken from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. As you may have gathered, we are just slowly reading through the gospel of Luke. Verse 25, "Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. There were 3 in the car. Teenage girls driving, following their GPS. And it was near Moss Point, Mississippi, near the Pascagoula River. And simply following their GPS, they drove onto the boat launch and drove into the Pascagoula River. It was last Tuesday that this happened. And all 3 teenagers were beginning to drown. A Moss Point police officer was alerted to it, and he arrived to rescue the teenage girls. But there was on the river, on the side of the river, a young teenager by the name of Corian Evans. And this young man, 16 years old, went out to rescue the teenage girls. It got so bad for the police officer. One of the teenagers was in such distress that she started to take him down, and they were both drowning, and this 16-year-old teenage boy rescued all 4. It happened in Mississippi last Tuesday. What do we call those kinds of people? Good Samaritans. And, you know, it's as simple as, you know, the person who helps you out with your shopping cart that's out of control in the parking lot, right? We're just thankful for people that come to our aid and help us in different ways, and we call them Good Samaritans. And it's an interesting term. We find out about that term here in our Bible reading for today. Jesus actually uses the Good Samaritan to showcase something far greater than just helping out with various things. He uses this story to showcase the gift of mercy. And so the title of our meditation today is Mercy. As we heard in our first reading, as we hear in our gospel reading, we are to care for others. And God actually outlines how we can do it in concrete ways. The challenge in your life and my life as we seek to care for people is we get to be a little careless and we fumble and fail. We can even make excuses for not doing what we need to do to help others. And we hear that in our gospel reading today. It's interesting. It starts with the lawyer wanting to test Jesus. He's just going to try to challenge Jesus in a way to catch him. And so he asks the question about eternal life and how a person can have eternal life. And certainly that's an important subject for us as well. And so Jesus, you know, puts the question back on the lawyer. Well, you know, what does it say in the law of the Lord? And so the lawyer gives the academic answer: fear, love, and trust in God above all things, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, do that and you'll live. So he gives him the law whereby he can save himself. Now the lawyer is stuck, because if he has examined himself at all according to the law, he knows he's in trouble. So in a way, Jesus just gives him a great big 100-pound sack to try to swim and make it to eternal life. And he's gonna fail at doing it. And so the lawyer needs to justify himself. Who's my neighbor? I mean, how many ways are we tempted to justify and make excuses ourselves? How many ways are we tempted to lay the blame on others so that we don't have to do what needs to be done? And so we can relate to the lawyer, can't we? And it's one of those things where Jesus realizes this is more than just about working with me. It's about this lawyer understanding what it means to extend mercy. And mercy is a very powerful thing. And so he tells a story. But I want you to think about mercy this way. Mercy is an act of ignoring the law to show compassion. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus talks about the Levite and the priest moving away from Jerusalem. That means they have been cleansed. That means that they're going to do important work according to the law. For them to touch someone who has been bleeding, to touch someone who's been injured, is to become unholy. And so to actually extend care to the guy robbed and beaten and left half dead is to actually not go according to the law. But think about it. Mercy is an act of ignoring the law to show compassion. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And more important than even eternal life for this lawyer at that moment is to understand what mercy is. To understand what it means to extend mercy to someone else. And so the Good Samaritan parable is about mercy. It's about treating people differently than what they deserve. Now, when you think about the guy who was robbed and beaten and left for dead, he hardly deserved that. And yet Jesus wants the lawyer to understand. He wants you, he wants me to understand how mercy is the most important thing for us to extend, and how important it is even to answer the question that the lawyer posed. The story of the Good Samaritan. I found this the other day. A Sunday school teacher was telling her class the story of the Good Samaritan. She described the situation in vivid detail so her students would catch the drama. Then she asked the class, quote, if you saw a person lying on the road, all wounded and bleeding, what would you do? You know, awkward silence, Sunday school class. A thoughtful little girl broke the hushed silence. I think I'd throw up. I mean, it's quite a scene to come to a place where someone has been injured or someone has fallen in a climbing accident and maybe part of their bone is sticking out of their body. They need help. They need help. And yet Jesus in this parable talks about how the priest goes by, the Levite goes by, and sure, according to the law, that's okay, but that it's not okay. And then the Samaritan from the northern tribe that was destroyed long ago, the outsider to the southern kingdom, to Jerusalem and Judea. Oftentimes the bad guys in their conversation extend mercy and helps the guy. Applies the oil, applies the wine, gives 2 days' wages, and offers to cover the rest, to care for the guy who's battered and smashed, left for dead. Jesus tells that young lawyer that that's the way to show mercy. So showing mercy earns us eternal life? That's not the point of the parable. How many ways have you and I been abused by sin? How many ways have you and I been bullied by the devil? How many ways have you and I been beaten by the unbelieving world? How many ways have you and I been robbed and mistreated and left on the side of the road, barely breathing? How many ways has it happened? And who has come to your rescue? You see, the story of the guy robbed and mistreated and beaten and left for dead is a story about you. And it's a story about me. And the Good Samaritan is the one that God sent to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Who has been your Good Samaritan over and over, over again, time and again? How many ways has he poured the oil and the wine on your life to heal you? How many ways has he bandaged you up? How many ways has he offered to care? How many gifts has he poured into your life that you find yourself today so thankful for and thankful to him for? Give thanks, because it's about the mercy that God has extended to us, the ones who don't deserve it. It's about Jesus, the Good Samaritan, who has mercy for sinners like me. How wonderful it is to know that what Jesus did, he did for us. What's different about him extending mercy and our extending mercy is quite amazing as well. Jesus cares for us, fulfilling the law, satisfying it in every detail. And then for all the ways that you and I have failed to walk in the will and ways of God according to his law, Jesus took that upon himself. I mean, what a cure. What a gift that he would then in our place die for all the ways that we have rebelled against God and failed God, so that we would know without a doubt that we stand before God right now because of Christ as the objects of God's mercy and his grace and his love and his compassion, and that he will care for us. Our constant companion, the Good Samaritan, Jesus. And there's so much to understand about the Lord in this. For instance, let's read this together. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, how many ways do we just get overwhelmed and we just start barely putting one foot in front of the other, and we feel the weight of the heat of the day and the challenges of life? In those moments of awareness, Jesus says, just stop and listen. Stop and ask me for guidance. I am the good teacher. I mean, he's the Good Samaritan and he's the good teacher. He's gentle and lowly. He's not the taskmaster teacher. He's not the poor performance teacher. He's the one who gently cares for us. And he's humble. And he promises that though we bear the heat of the day, he promises to give us his cool grace. He promises to care for us. This is the nature of our Good Samaritan, who has not only rescued us from ourselves and the unbelieving world and the devil and his devices, but he has come to and traveled with us through the many dangers, toils, and snares that make up your life and my life. In the next chapter, we hear this. Jesus has been doing miracles, healing people. And then Matthew likes to point back to the promises of God in the Old Testament. And so he does that here in this case. So Matthew explains, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. The key thing in all of this is verse 20, a bruised reed. Are there places in your life where you feel just broken? Are there places in your life where hope and peace are barely burning? He can bind us back up. He can bring back the flame of hope and peace and joy and love. This is our Good Samaritan. This is what he can do. This is how he cares for you and for me as he extends the mercy of God to us in his life, in his body and blood, in his word of grace, our Savior Jesus, the Good Samaritan, who cares for us. But there's more to this than just being the recipients. God would train us into following him as Good Samaritans. But boy, we have feet of clay. We have tongues of clay. There are places in your life and my life where we can feel like our best efforts are ashes, and that what we've tried to accomplish hasn't worked out so well. Maybe it's in marriage or parenting or grandparenting or in friendships. And yet the Lord would have us learn, as we receive Christ's perfect care, what it means to care for others and what that looks like. The Apostle Paul. Think of the Apostle Paul, once a persecutor of the church, willing for people to have death sentences for worshiping the true and living Christ. He says this in Romans chapter 12, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I mean, we're hearing this from the Apostle Paul. How ironic to think how challenging it was. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So there are places in your life and my life when we seek to extend mercy, and it just seems like it's just an uphill battle. Do it anyway. Share it anyway. I mean, who has done that in your life and my life and has loved to do it despite our resistance? Our Good Shepherd Jesus, who continues to take care of us, even though we get to be of the mindset we think we're taking care of ourselves. The one who keeps extending mercy to us. I mean, that's what it's all about. Oh, there's more. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's hard for us to be good Samaritans. There are places in our life where we feel like, do I even try anymore? And the answer is try. Try. In the strength of the one who's caring for you. Keep extending mercy. Keep going forward in grace. Because that's what we have received from what Christ has given to us, our Good Samaritan. Isn't it interesting how Jesus goes from talking about eternal life to the importance of extending mercy in time, day by day? And yet, is eternal life not that important? No. It's just that there's only one way that sinners can receive eternal life, and that's in the mercy that God gives to us through His Son. So, back to the beginning of our gospel reading, eternal life. Is it something we do, or is it something done? And the answer is this: Jesus did eternal life for us. He did everything so that we can receive it in the mercy of God, so that we can have it right now, even as we live, and daily just give thanks for the mercy that God has given to us, what Good Samaritan has done and given to us. Because for us, for you and for me, and all believers, eternal life is done. We have it because of the Son who came to save us on the side of the road where we were left for dead and made alive by God's grace in the efforts of the Good Samaritan. So as we go through this brand new week, let us extend mercy. Not that it'll be easy, but something we know how much we need and what we can also share in the strength of the Good Samaritan, our Savior Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.